Those of you that were here on Good Friday saw the effects that two lights had when they were shown from opposite sides at the cross that was in the center of the altar here on the middle step. These lights produced two crosses on the front wall here, just below the main cross. It didn't take much imagination to envision yourself at the base of the hill of Golgotha, looking up at the crucifixion as the passion narrative was being read. The darkened sanctuary and the flickering candles added to the mysterious mood that was cast by the shadow effect. And here we are today, worshiping the week after Easter, things seeming to be only a shadow of the resurrection high of just a week earlier. And we hear again of doubting Thomas, the skeptic of the ages, who refuses to believe unless he sees in Jesus' hands the mark of the nails, and places his finger into the mark of the nails and places his hand in Jesus' side. Thomas's disbelief foreshadows our own questions and doubts that plague and linger with us even yet today. But it's really the shadows that I want to focus on this morning. Our first reading from Acts chapter 5 talks about the early church and the success of the apostles in their evangelism efforts, a long way from their first weeks of hiding in the upper room. Starting up at verse 14, "And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, and so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them." The apostles were performing wonderful signs and miracles among the people, and the church was growing by leaps and bounds. People would bring their sick out into the streets just hoping that Peter's shadow would pass over them, that the shadow would heal them. I guess the question is, could Peter's shadow really heal people? Could someone's shadow really have that kind of power? It may not be that far-fetched. We read in Luke chapter 8 about when Jesus was traveling by foot a fair distance to heal the 12-year-old daughter of Jairus, a synagogue ruler. She was dying, and Jairus had come to get Jesus to heal her. Along the way, a woman fought her way through the crowds and managed to come up behind Jesus. She had had a discharge of blood for 12 years. No doctor was able to help her. She just wanted to touch the very hem of Jesus' garment. She stretches out her hand and touched it and was healed on the spot. Jesus felt the healing power go out from him. He then says to the woman, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Maybe Peter's shadow, like Jesus' garment, is just a means for that same healing power and presence of God to work in and for those who have faith. I believe that God can be powerfully present wherever he wants, including in a shadow. And I believe that the Bible supports this. When the time came for Jesus to be born, the angel came to Mary to let her know that she would give birth to the very Son of God. She didn't understand because she was a virgin. "How can this be?" she asked. The answer, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the very Son of God." From Luke 1, verse 35. God overshadowed Mary, and she gave birth to Jesus, the Savior of the world. God's power present in a shadow. Later in Jesus' life, he went up on a mountain with Peter, James, and John. He was transfigured right before their very eyes, blazing white, dazzling glory shone all around them. Moses and Elijah appeared there and talked with Jesus. What a sight to see, am I right? Then a cloud came and overshadowed them. The disciples heard God's powerful voice boom out from the shadowy cloud. This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. God's powerful presence along with a shadow. When God's shadow appears, his very presence and power are in it. Peter's shadow could have healed the people that day, not because of any power Peter had, but because God was there performing amazing signs and wonders. Even long before Peter walked by that crowd of people, the writer of Psalm 91 knew the wonderful gift of God's shadow. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. But shadows don't always bring up the most positive of images. Did you know that the longest shadow on earth is believed to be cast by the El Piton Peak on Tenerife, the largest of the Canary Islands? El Piton Peak rises abruptly 12,200 feet above the Atlantic Ocean. And at sunrise and sunset, it produces a shadow nearly 150 miles in length. But this was also the site of the worst aviation crash in history. In 1977, two giant Boeing 747s crashed into each other on the runways, and over 570 lives were lost. With all that loss of life, it's hard not to think of the words of Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There are times when shadows remind us of death. This time the shadow is not God's power to create life. This time it is death's power over us. This time the cloud is not the presence of healing. This time the ugly presence of death hangs over us like a cloud of disease and grief. This time the shadow is not one of joyous excitement. This time it is one of tear-filled sorrow. Another psalm comes to mind. Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Accidents like the one on Tenerife, the death of a loved one, or close calls that you might have had, help you realize just how quickly life passes by. Isaiah 40, verses 7 and 8 says, the grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely people are like grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. It's God's word that helps us when we're faced with our own mortality. When we stand in the shadow of an empty cross with Jesus risen from the dead, God's powerful word of promise chases away the gloom of death. Jesus' resurrection overshadows you with the very promise of life with him for all eternity. Your loved ones in the face will live, and so will you. Jesus' resurrection changes everything. Think of Thomas, the disciple who was missing from the upper room that very first Easter morning. He would not believe that Jesus was alive. He heard the news from Mary, from the other disciples, but even Peter couldn't convince him of what had happened. He needed to see it for himself. A week later, he was with the other disciples. Perhaps the room is fairly dark. Fear being discovered by the Jews, maybe with just a few lamps being lit. Suddenly, Jesus appears with his glorious resurrected body. Thomas is awestruck. Jesus turns his attention to him. Maybe, just maybe, Jesus is standing before one of the lamps. His shadow falls over Thomas. He tells Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. do not disbelieve, but believe. At that very moment, the shadow of death turned into the shadow of life. Thomas was whole again. The very resurrected presence of Jesus made all the difference in Thomas's life. And ours too. No, we can't reach out and touch the nail marks in Jesus' hands and side like Thomas did. We don't have Peter's shadow passing over us with God's healing presence and power like the crowds did. But we can reach out our hands and take hold of the risen body of Christ in the bread at his supper. We can reach out and steady the cup filled with his blood, powerfully present for us here today. The shadow of gloom and death has changed to the shadow of God's power and life with Christ's resurrected presence in his holy supper of his body and his blood. Can we see his shadow? Well, not like the people who watched Peter walk by. Not like Thomas did when Jesus appeared again in the upper room. But believe me, it's here. Believe me, God's amazing power and presence is here for you today. You don't even have to believe me. Believe Jesus' words to Thomas. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Without a shadow of a doubt, you are the blessed that Jesus is talking about in those words. Amen.